I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And because of time, we're just going to read a few verses from verse 34. Acts chapter 10, commencing to read at the verse 34. And as we read the scriptures here, it's the story of how Peter had received a vision from God to go to Cornelius, and how that God showed him that nothing was unclean which God had cleansed. In verse number 34 it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he hath fear, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed them openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he that was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word. Tonight we're gathered in God's house to honor those who gave their lives in the service of their country and the cause of freedom. And you and I have the privilege of gathering here this evening because of brave servicemen and women who down the years went to the call of duty and the love of country to the battlefields across the world. Not only in the world wars, 1914, 18, 1939, 45, but also in our own province, and also in the distant lands where soldiers are fighting even this evening. You know, it's all too easy for us to forget the sacrifice of those who gave their lives that we might have the privilege of being able to share together. I was reading a little poem that a woman wrote some years ago. "We cherish the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never die." And yet tonight, as we gather in God's house, let us not forget that there are some soldier lads and lassies that are in the fields or in the lands of Afghanistan and in the battlefields of Iraq, and they're still fighting the battle for freedom of peoples in this world. And surely we think of them tonight because, just like some of their comrades, some of them will never return. Some of them will be carried home. Some of them will be brought home to their families differently than they left. And tonight I think of their families. I think of them as they wait anxiously and they wait patiently, and as they wonder if their sons or their daughters will ever return. This is the 90th anniversary of the ending of the First World War, when the guns fell silent. And today we gather in God's house and we remember their sacrifices. And yet we think of the turmoil that's still in the world. We think of the fleeing multitudes of people in the Congo. We think of the starving peoples in Zimbabwe. We think of the suffering people in Darfur, and also in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I know that many tonight are yearning for peace. And yet for some of them it seems that peace is simply a distant dream. I was reading just yesterday these words. A former president of the Norwegian Academy of Sciences and historians from England, Egypt, Germany, and India have brought forth these startling information. Since 3600 BC, the world has known only 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. When we think of the awfulness and the tragedy of war, and surely we long that to this world would come again the Prince of Peace. I was reading in God's Word this week, and God wrote a little verse in my heart. In the 36th verse in Acts chapter 10, these words: "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." And as I was thinking of those words, the Spirit of God gripped my heart. And God reminded me of the great necessity to preach this message that Peter preached, even to Cornelius, the Gentiles, away so many years ago. What is happening here in the 10th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles was 10 years after Pentecost, when the power of God came down on His people, and God filled His church and sent them forth to take the gospel to the regions beyond. And you know, God brought forth the message of salvation, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Stephen has been stoned. We find that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. And even as the persecution came upon the believers, how that the gospel seed was spread across the world. And then God prepared Peter's heart, even in this 10th chapter, in the vision which God gave him, God prepared his heart to take a message, just like Jonah, to a people that he didn't want to take it to. He didn't want necessarily to take it to the Gentiles, and yet God was preparing him to take the message of the gospel to the Gentile people, and thank God he did, because that gospel message has reached you and me, even in this service this evening. And whilst it is true that salvation is a divine work, and we must never forget it, because the Bible says salvation belongeth unto the Lord, yet, my friends, while salvation is a divine work, yet God uses human instruments. And we have got here in this passage of God's Word, I believe, four simple thoughts that I want to leave you in the closing moments of our meeting. First of all, the proclamation of peace. Look at verse 36. "The word which God sent on to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." And I want you to notice that word, first of all, preaching. Preaching peace. This congregation knows that I believe in preaching. I believe that it is not right that people come to the house of God and look for a little sermonette and hope to get out as quickly as they possibly can without having been fed in the precious, infallible Word of God. You see, God said to Timothy these words. He said, "Timothy," and God was calling him home, and he had a burden in his heart. And he said to Timothy, he says, "Timothy, preach. Preach the word. Preach it in season. Preach it out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when man will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own selves will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And friend, the reality is today that people do not necessarily like preaching. Who does he think he is that would stand up and preach to me? God said to the disciples, he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach. Preach the gospel." We need to preach the gospel to every creature.
I was also reading this week that the officer in charge of the royal pews in the church at Windsor, it is noted that whenever King George was visiting the church there, and whenever it come to the end of the sermon, King George would always comment on the sermon. A lot of people do that as well, mind you. But King George, whenever it came to the end of the sermon, if it was one that was a blessing, then King George would leave that pew in Windsor Chapel, and he would go out and he would go out with a cheerful voice and say, "That will do very well. That will feed souls." If the sermon was dry, if there was nothing in the message, if it was lifeless, if it was barren of gospel teaching, then King George would mutter a word, he would shake his head, and he would do it sorrowfully as he would leave the pew, and he would mutter under his breath, "That won't do! That won't feed souls!" I want to tell you, my friend, we need to get back to the preaching of the Word of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are in a preaching house tonight. You have come to an old-fashioned preaching house where God's Word is faithfully proclaimed, and God's Word will be faithfully proclaimed, because God says to the preacher, "Preach the Word!" Over this preacher's head, there's a text of Scripture. Look on the wall. "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And the curse of God is upon the man that fails to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, the message of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ." We need preachers today. We need men with a passion for souls to reach the lost for Jesus Christ, the proclamation of the gospel of peace. Preaching peace. You know, the Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. I'll tell you this, my friend, I never tire listening to the grand old gospel. I never tire when a man stands in the pulpit and preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ. I never tire when a preacher takes a congregation to the cross and tells them about the precious blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary, that man and woman lost in their sin might be redeemed and saved for all eternity. It never fails to bless my soul. I go from the preaching house, friend, and I hear a brother preaching God's infallible truth of the gospel of redeeming grace, and I go from God's preaching house, and my soul is blessed. I've got a tilt on the step. I'm thrilled. Why? Because God has called us to preach. And that's what Peter went to do to Cornelius. He said, "You know the message that was sent to the children of Israel. Now he's taking it to the Gentiles. Preaching, preaching peace." The proclamation of peace. Secondly, let us think about the principle of peace. And friend, it is of vital importance that you and I realize tonight just exactly what the platform or the principles of peace is. You see, there's a false peace. Men and women lull themselves to sleep in a false peace. You know, there are those tonight and they think they're like the Pharisee that went up to the temple and he had got a false peace. And he lifted his eyes and he looked to heaven and he said, "Lord, I thank you, I'm not as other men are." And then he looked over and he saw the old publican there. And the old publican's head was bowed low. And the Pharisee looked at him and he said, "God, and I'm glad I'm not like him. And God, I'm not like that old publican over there." The publican bowed his head. He wouldn't look heavenward. And as he bowed his head, he smote his breast. And with a cry in his heart, he said these words. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And friend, let me tell you this, that man, the Bible says, the poor old publican, glory to God, he went down from the house of God. He went down from the house of God justified. And the Pharisee went down the way he came, lost in a sin. You see, friend, the platform of peace is not a false peace we're talking about. That the worldly mind has thought about and thinks that he's all right. Or she thinks that she's all right, that she doesn't need the Lord. She thinks that she's good enough. He's got this idea that his own self-righteousness, he bolsters himself up in the thought that somehow, that when he stands before God, that what God will do is this, weigh his bad deeds and weigh his good deeds. And, you know, somehow it will manage out all right because he's not as bad as he thought. Let me tell you, my friend, you're 1,000 times worse than you thought. For the Word of God says, all your righteousnesses, that's the best deeds you could ever do. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, stenchful garments in God's sight. The Bible tells me about a man, and God blessed him and God prospered him, but he thought he was the answer to everything. And you know, God blessed him with great store and with bountiful harvest. And he had so much he didn't know what to do with it. And then he said, listen, I'm going to pull down my barns. And I'm going to build greater, and I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And he had a false peace that night as he walked the stairs. I see him climb the stairs. He's had all settled in his mind. See those barns over there? He's going to knock them down. And in his mind's eye, he can see the plans. And in his mind's eye, he can see them both. And God looked over the parapet of glory that night into seeing a man as he lay his head on the pillow. And God said, man, you're only a fool. For God said, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. A young lady was coming home, I'm told, the other evening at the roundabout, to tell me her mother was waiting on the other side. She was running across the road. The vehicle came down. And before the mother's eyes, it took her into eternity. 22 years of age. Friend, she was coming home. And mother was waiting. But she never made it. Are you bolstered in a false peace tonight that somehow it's not you? I say this lovingly. Our brother Alfie and his family know what it is to have the vacant chair when the rain was taken. But listen, friend, you think it's not you. You think it's everybody else's home. It's everybody else's family. It's somebody else's child that's taken. It's somebody else's mother that's taken. It's somebody else's father. No, friend, it's not. Because you see, you and I are all heading the same road. We're going down the valley, one by one. And every one of us in this service, let me tell you, I can't believe it. I say this with all my heart. I cannot believe it. It's a year since last we met in a remembrance service. The year, it seems to have gone so quickly. And I can't believe the way the hours and the days and the months, and for this preacher, the years are passing. And I'll tell you this, they're going quickly. And the clock of time, it's wound but once. And there's no man has the power to say when that clock of time is going to stop for them, friend. At late or early hour. To lose your wealth, it's sad indeed. And to lose your health, it's even more. But to lose your soul, it's such a loss. that no man can restore. Preaching peace. Is it a false peace tonight? Friend, come on. Don't fool yourself. If that's your situation there, and in God's name I beg you, own up to it. In God's name I beg you, face up to the reality of your standing and your state before God. Can you honestly say that you'd be glad to meet God tonight if God was to call you? Can you honestly say before God, listen preacher, I would love the Lord to call me tonight, I'll gladly meet Him. Friend, that's why the Holy Ghost says, prepare to meet Him. You need to be ready to meet Him. You need to be ready. You need to have your sins covered. You need, my friend, to have God's peace in your soul. Yes, that's real. Not a false peace. You know, some people think that peace is simply a cessation of hostilities. That's not what the Word of God teaches, friend. It's far more than that. See, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see reconciliation? The word there to reconcile is to bring together those that are alienated, to reunite those at variance, to restore to concord. Therefore, reconciliation, it presupposes alienation. It presupposes discord. It presupposes hostility. There is a division. There's a dissension. There is a separation. I'm talking about something far greater than a man alienated from his neighbor. I'm talking about a man alienated from God. I'm talking about a man and his sin, listen, my friends, and he's at war with God. The Word of God says that the sinful man is at enmity with God. He's at variance with God. He is, my friend, at war with the God who gave him breath. And yet the Word of God tells us that God has given to me as a preacher of the gospel. He has given to me the ministry of reconciliation. You see, reconciliation means the ending of the enmity and the making of peace. But how can that happen? How can a man be reconciled with God, friend? How can a man be at peace with God? How can a woman lay her head upon the pillow tonight and know that if God's to call her tonight, that all's well. I think of the McCune family. I think of Janice. And friend, what a shock for the family circle whenever to realize that their lovely mother was taken away the night hour. Then what about you? I beg you in God's name, consider these things. Are you at peace with God? Have you the peace of God in your soul? Do you know the real peace of God within your soul, that you're no longer at war with God, that you're no longer at enmity with God, that you have been reconciled to God? How can it happen? We're reconciled to God through the blood of His cross. You see, friend, for you to be reconciled with God, the problem has got to be dealt with. Sin problem has got to be dealt with. Your sin has got to be taken away. You've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn from your sin. You've got to, my friend, have your sin dealt with. There's no use fooling yourself. There's no use covering up. There is a problem in man's heart. And the problem of man's heart, my friend, is a sin problem that only the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can cleanse and take away. Are you reconciled to God tonight? Do you know the truth of the great doctrine of justification? Just as if you never sinned, to know that God has justified you? through the blood of his Son. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you fear meeting God? I asked you an honest question, friend. Do you fear meeting God? I'll tell you. If you're not saved tonight and you don't fear him, you'd be a fool. You'd be a fool. People lived in fear in this wee province of someone knocking the door at night with a terrorist gun in their hand. You see, that man would be a fool if he laughed at it. And yet people laugh at meeting God. People lift their fists in the face of God and say, God, I'll take you on. I'll live like I want. I'll do what I want. I'll say what I want. I'll be what I want. God, you have no right to tell me what I can do. You may have given me breath, but I'll take your gift and use it for me. You fear meeting God? Are you reconciled to God tonight? Through the blood of his cross. Listen. The proclamation of peace. Preaching. The principle of peace. Reconciliation through the blood of his cross. Notice this. Notice the person of peace. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That's the answer. I've told you before. I remember going to a home outside Tunbridge. I remember going to that home because of a terrorist incident. A mother whose son was going out to work, as he often did, or always did. Mother would see him out in the morning. Mother would see him with his lunchbox as he would head out to his lorry to start up his lorry. But that's what he did, also being a part-time member of the security forces. And friend, one morning, mother had seen her son go out through the door and she went down to the bedroom, because it was early in the morning, and she would lie down for a little while and then get up for the rest of the family. But she always listened, you know, always afraid that perhaps a gunman would be there. That morning there was. Mother heard the sound of the gunfire, and she jumped up on that bed, friend, to go to her son. But one of the bullets came through the window of the bedroom and shot the mother. She lay down in that bedroom that day, dead. Her son was spared. The mother died. I remember going to that home. And there in the coffin, as I stood at the side of the coffin, friend, one of my colleagues, Dr. Alan Kearns, had written a little gospel tract, a little book for souls who came to Christ. Christ is the answer. And there, where mother lay in the coffin, and everyone walked in from around the Tunbridge area, friend, lying in the coffin was this little booklet with these words, Christ is the answer. And so he is. Friend, he still is. He's the only answer. If you're here tonight and your heart's troubled and heavy, let me tell you, thank God he's the healer of broken hearts. If you're here tonight and your heart's breaking, glory to God. He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. You've tasted the waters of the world and yet they've never satisfied. And Jesus says, come to me, for I am the water of life.
Christ is the answer.
Preaching peace by Jesus Christ.
Let me tell you, friend. Leave Christ out of your story. Leave Jesus Christ out of your life. And I'll tell you this. You'll never, never know God's peace. You'll never experience the peace of God in your soul. You'll never know what it is to be at peace with God. Because there's the person of peace. It's by Jesus Christ. The church can't save you tonight. The preacher can't save you tonight. Your baptism can't save you tonight. You'll never know God's peace in your soul with all of these things, good they of themselves might be. It's preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Thank God I learned it as a little boy. Jesus saves. You let him save you, friend. You come to him. You let him, my friend, give you the pardon, because that's the last thought. The pardon of peace. Remission of sin, verse 43. The remission of sin in his name. Your sins can be forgiven. Listen, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as well. Peace with God. Sins pardoned. Sins blotted out. Sins forgotten. Sins forgiven. Sins put behind God's back. Sins put in the sea of God's forgetfulness. It's all in the book, friend. It's all in the book. That's what happens when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You know the pardon and the peace of Christ. The world can't give you that. And praise God, the world can't take it away. You come to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tonight. Man in the service, that's the only one you need. Christ is the answer. Get that in your heart. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is the answer. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. May God give you grace to come to him. Let him save you for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of those that are gathered here that still are without thee. Thou knowest those that are traveling down the broad road that leads to a lost eternity, and they bolster themselves in a false peace, something that the worldly mind can manufacture, something else they think that money can buy. And yet peace can only come through the blood of the Savior's cross. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bring men and women and young people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tonight. Oh, save them. As your head's bowed and eyes are closed, friend, the meeting will be over. Come to the concluding part shortly. But I ask you in Jesus' name, as your heads bow before God, tell me, do you know God's peace tonight? Is the peace of God in your soul? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Your sins are blotted out? Do you know that God has put them into the sea of his forgetfulness? Or are your sins still in your soul? You've never come to Jesus. I beg you to come to him, friend. You say, William, how do I come? You come the only way a sinner can. You come as you are. Just as I am, without one plea. for that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, as her heads are bowed and her eyes are closed, let me give you a simple invitation. Will you come to Christ? Will you let go of your sin and turn to the Savior? Will you repent? Turn away from your sin and turn to the Savior. Call upon Him now, just as your head's bowed. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm lost in my sin. I'm on my way to hell. But tonight I'm glad I know that Jesus died for sinners, and that means He died for me. Lord Jesus, I take You as my Savior. I rest my soul upon the work You finished at the cross. For it is enough, Lord Jesus, You died, and that You died for me. Save me, Lord. I ask it in Your lovely name.